welcome everybody to the Fieldwork Podcast. Again, we are on series two right now. We're to our musical guests.
Yep.
And we have right here the lovely Harry Hart. All the way from Oz.
All the way from Oz.
All the way from down under.
You're here for your tour, aren't you?
Yeah, a few shows. Went to the Great Escape for a few days.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was great, nice and sunny.
Is that, that's Brighton, isn't it?
Brighton, yeah. It's quieter this year than previous years.
Is that a festival? I don't know what that is.
It's a festival. There's been a lot of protesting with Great Escape, hasn't there, this year?
Yeah, a bit of boycotting. Mm. Yeah, everyone loves a bit of boycotting.
Is it?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, but I'll be honest, I didn't really know why they were boycotting it for.
Neither did I. I just decided to turn a blind eye and enjoy the festival.
Yeah, fair enough.
I thought that was the safest bet.
Yeah, fair enough. Especially because, like, been all the way in Oz, it's all...
Exactly. I literally found out when I got there, the first person I spoke to at the opening party said, do you know about the... And I was like, oh
great. So I've signed up for this.
You know how far I've
come. Yeah, you come very fast.
Yeah.
Amazing. Right, well, to be fair, we were just listening to your new EP before you came in.
We were?
Oh, well, yeah.
We were.
Oh, nice.
Big fan of your new song.
Yeah, the hotel.
Oh, okay, thank you. Baku Hotel.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is it an actual place that you've... significant to you, or
it's not particularly significant to me. It's basically there's a friend of mine who an old school friend that works in that area, that part of the world, and I was just Facebook was just kind of showing me some of his life. I was like, oh, there's someone I don't interact with anymore, but I was like, that's interesting. I just liked the just using a different set of words, basically.
Yeah, it's a cool sounding hotel as well.
Yeah, exactly.
But I actually really, really like that tune.
I said, you know what it sounds like? I said it sounds like, you know, M83?
Yeah.
It sounds like if the X-Files asked M83 to do their like opening theme song.
They did, and he passed. So yes.
Oh, there you go. That's you then. I really liked it as well. A very weird, like mysterious sort of vibe to it, but I liked it a lot.
I think the X-Files thing comes from James Davis. So he played keys on
Virtuoso.
It.
Virtuoso.
And yeah, it's that, I don't know what synth he used, but I think it's the main
melody. That's what I got.
It's always a quirky.
And I like it a lot.
Out his bag in the air. To be fair, I also, that's just reminding me, I have a confession to make. My next song is called Heavy Heart.
Okay. We said this.
For the last 2 weeks, we've just been parodying your name because we can't say your name.
I said on the way here, if you have the Heavy Heart, featuring Harry Hart remix, that would just fit really well.
You need to do a remix.
It would really fit quite well.
So it Lils has been walking around all week going, my Harry Hart. So when that comes out,
it fits too well. It fits far too well. We'll play it over there. You know, you're on the song though. So you can play it over there.
That's it. Yeah.
But TikTok doesn't know that though. So anytime you even play your own songs, they go, we're pulling that down.
I did a performance video of my own song. Right. It.
Got flagged. Yeah. Wow.
But I'm not even on a label, so I didn't
think
that
made... register. They just heard a song and went, we don't like that. We're not having it.
But wait, were you using any of the original masks?
No, it was a lip sync video because it was like a visual thing.
Okay.
And I get, is it UMG, Universal Music?
Yeah, UMG.
But I thought...
They're real sticklers.
It was just them.
And I thought they were back now. Like they were muted for a while,
yeah,
and now they're back. So I don't really know.
It's like, why are you muting me? Like that would be only me that would upset.
Yeah,
so I was pretty pissed.
It might be through your like distributor. They might have a thing going on
and
there,
and it knocked it pretty quickly as well. Mm. So I don't know if that's actually a good thing that my distributor was on the ball there. I guess
potentially.
Or it also means no one's using my music because it's not notified me that.
Maybe after today now. Did you know Sam went viral yesterday and he's been about it nonstop?
And just like not that. No, I haven't.
He hasn't. To be fair.
It's for just the most like typical viral thing of not anything that I wanted to go viral for. But we were actually going to get on this.
We can get to it now if you want to get to it now. We can come back to it.
So because you caught the end of it when we were talking about before. Mm. So Apple Music's just released the top 100 albums list.
Right. Oh, that's what, okay.
Yeah. Yep. So and I saw it and it had been posted like 5 minutes ago and I thought, fuck it. So then I put the top 10 on my TikTok and just like a quick little thought on each one. And it's like, God, they've got 100K on each video.
Wow.
And I've got so many haters. And to be fair, that's when you caught me saying that, like, I just think Prince is just, like, a bit overrated.
Okay.
So I feel, like, so heard that you agree when you were saying off camera. Because, we were saying in the episode, I'm not saying he's not, like, an icon and all this.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. He's obviously a talented man.
Pretty good, isn't he?
Yeah, but...
I don't know.
People say MJ
don't have shit on him. And no, I just thought that's, like, sacrilege, that.
I think, you know... Prince has more of the Bowie-esque, you know, hit and miss kind of thing where you can be a fan, you can be a devout fan, but actually only like 30% of what he's released. I think he's got that going on.
That's a great
point. But I've not found that 30% for myself.
He's at 5%.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Because this is the thing, I'm like, we were saying he's a great musician, but even again, his biggest fans would be like, oh yeah, well, I know loads of songs that I like. But like, at the end of the day, if you're trying to put him on a level with Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson has 20 songs that everybody's heard.
Everybody's heard. Yeah, it's true.
I couldn't name more than three or four Prince tunes.
No, yeah, nor could I. Yeah,
and I've had a lot of Prince around me in my life as well. Like, my mum's a big fan. Mm. And I, don't get me wrong, Purple Rain's one of the best songs ever written.
Does your mum think Prince is better than Michael?
She wouldn't say that.
No, of course she wouldn't.
She wouldn't say that. She's got a brain.
Of course she does. There you go then.
She's like, off sound mind.
Sorted.
Prince fans are always trying to convince you.
Exactly.
If you need to convince me, then you're already wrong.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And they're like, and someone's, because this is the thing. So it's like the comment section's been hilarious because the first like 100 comments were me arguing with people just for fun. And then I've gone away and come back overnight and it's like 700-800 comments and it's just people kicking off.
Let's keep going.
Exactly. So it's well funny.
Let's just lay into print.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
R.I.P.
Yeah. Of course. Yes.
It was longer ago though. You can say it now.
Yeah, that's true.
You can
call it. It's not too soon.
No.
But also controversially, I'm going to say, so I've met a few people in that have played for Prince and a few producers and stuff. And again, it's not like a big breaking news thing because people have probably heard this on the grapevine anyway. A bit of a wanker.
I mean, but yeah, I can believe
if you're that big though, wanker. You're not going to be sunshine and rain.
No, of course.
No one like, that big is so lovely, are they?
I've actually just remembered. So do you know who Alexander O'Neill is?
No.
I don't expect you to. So Liam's going to laugh at me for this. But when I was 16, I went on tour with this guy called Alexander O'Neill. And he was like a big 80s singer. And ironically, none of my friends knew who he was. Everyone's friend's mum and dad knew who he was. But my dad was a big fan of his. So I knew who he was anyway. And he was part of the, is it Minneapolis? Where is it? Prince is from? Minnesota? Memphis? Not Memphis.
Minneapolis, Indiana?
Yeah, I can't remember. Anyway.
Midwest. Somewhere.
Wherever he is. And Alexander O'Neill was in his circle. Because Alexander O'Neill's, he's got a few good songs. You like some of his
songs. Yeah, I do.
And I did look, but again, he's like, he's maybe a one hit wonder kind of 80s vibe, but he was Whitney Houston's mate. So we were like trying to get loads of stories out of him, basically. And to be fair, the ironic thing was, and not to go on about it, but the ironic thing was when we went on tour with him, he'd just been on Celebrity Big Brother, which was hilarious.
Right. And the reason for the tour?
That's the reason for the tour. It's because his manager was managing us. So it was hilarious because he was like, he went on Big Brother and went, I'm a cocaine addict, left Big Brother to go to rehab. And that press saw his whole tour. Mm. And he was off his tits the whole time of the tour as well. So, but anyway, and he was telling us, he was like, Prince, he said Prince is racist. I was like, what does that even mean? Mm. And he was like, basically, he wouldn't hire like mixed race people.
Really?
Black enough. And he used to say it all the time.
But Prince was a very light-skinned man himself. I don't know what his heritage was, really.
No idea.
Wild. Fair.
So it was baffling. And he was like, because he said, this is 10 years ago now, but I can't remember what it was, but he went on this rant and me and the boys were like, just like some guys going off on this, on Prince. And we were like, just a bit, because we were 16, 17.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah.
But anyway, and he was like, yeah, Prince like told me to get he was a backing singer for Prince. That's what he was actually. He did some backing vocals for Prince and he was like, he literally stopped the rehearsal and was like, these three ain't black enough, get them out.
Wild.
Whoa.
And I'm not wild. Like, it's weird for someone like me to say, Alexander O'Neill is black. You know what I mean? Like,
he's poor man's like, Luther Vandross.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like, let's call him.
Right.
That's similar. Actually the best way of thinking. Picture Luther Vandross.
And his music.
Exactly
and his similar
like.
Music.
It's exactly what he sounds
but
like.
But not as
and
good.
He is really good. But anyway, so yeah, so I'd heard a lot about Prince anyway. So, and I said in the comments that he does loads of covers because his catalogue's not that good. And someone commented and was like, how would you know you've never been to a Prince concert? And I was like, he's got millions of hours of live footage. And I mean, I honestly, my favorite performance of Prince is, you ever seen, he plays at the George Harrison tribute gig
where
George Harrison died and they play While My Guitar Gently Weeps and he does an 8-minute solo and it's face melt and it's incredible. But, and then I thought about it and I think like the top five biggest videos of Prince are him doing other people's songs.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And again, that speaks as an incredible musician and artistically all this, but like,
but can he moonwalk though?
No, he can't. And someone said in the comments, they were like, yeah, but Michael Jackson can't play instruments. And I was like, well, Prince can't sing.
He was the instrument.
Yeah, he used to just write his whole albums like vocally. And then
he would sing
and
go, guitars, listen to this. Here's what we need to play. And he would sing the melody.
Yeah.
And they would go, okay, I got it. And he'd go, great. Mm. Trumpets, whatever, brass section, here's what I want you to do. And he would just compose a song like that.
Exactly.
Anyway, they were getting so off track.
I'm definitely getting too caught up on that, but I was just so impressed because not many people agree with me about the Prince thing. And I've took a lot of flack from, I mean, those are sisters already falling out with me.
Are you ready to take some more? No, not from me.
Double down on this, to be fair. But anyway, so what we wanted to ask you a few things, actually, but one thing we want to try, and we want to keep asking all of our artists, because we did our own. We're calling it Desert Island Discs.
Right.
And the concept's not new. But if you were stuck on a desert island, mm-hmm. if you were stuck on a desert island and you had, should we go 5 or 10?
No, I think four or five. Four. I don't think 10 is too generous. You can get everything in there.
Let's do 5 then. 4 feels like a weird one. 5 albums that possibly you're only going to listen to. You're going to listen to for the rest of your life.
Okay. In this hypothetical world, you're going to keep living somehow on this.
And
island.
The reason I like this concept is because it's not necessarily the best 5 albums.
What can you?
You're also
to?
Thinking like, well, if I want to cover music for the rest of my life.
Yes.
What can I listen to the next 50 years or so?
Good and point. I know it's a bit of a thing to drop on you as well.
No, because also I'm thinking, well, I want the biggest track listing I can get. So
that's like true. Yeah. But I also thought as an artist, because we wanted to try and think about ways that, like, at the end of the day, unless we're getting massive artists on here, like, we want people to get to know you and
For sure. On.
And I've always thought the best way of doing that is talking about your influences.
For sure.
Yeah.
Then if people go, oh, well, if you like that guy and I like that guy, I'll listen to you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought this would be a good way to get to know you a little
bit. Yeah, no, it's good. Well, I think I would take, you're probably not going to like this. I think I would take a copy of Take Care with me.
No, I like that.
It's a great album.
It's not the most musical, you know.
No, Take Care.
But do you know what? It is just so enjoyable to listen to every time. Yeah. And it's a big track list, so.
It is, isn't it? It's like 18 tunes or something like that.
And if there's, a chance for some island romance, you got the soundtrack teed up.
Damn right.
Ready to go. Yeah. I know you're a big Drake fan.
Yeah.
So. Which we'll probably get onto.
Yeah, I'm going to zip my mouth and we'll get onto that.
I like the first bit, though.
So it would be wrong of me not to take a Drake record. I would take Demon Days, I think, Gorillaz.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That's a great shout.
Because that's quite, there's a bit of everything in there.
Mm. Yeah.
I nearly wore my Gorillaz t-shirt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've got the Demon Days album cover on t-shirts.
Nice. Go on. So that's 2.
They don't have to be a ranking either. That's the other thing.
No. Yeah, I don't think I could. I don't think I could rank them. Maybe Flower Boy?
Yeah,
maybe not. Oh, I'm not sure. Again, for the same reason as Demon Days, 100%.
We've had such arguments about this, of which is better, Flowerboy or Igor. I said Flowerboy slaps Igor upside down.
I agree.
It's so much better. Mm. There are no skips on it. There are so many hidden features.
I lied on camera to say that to piss you off.
You're a prick for that then, because I knew you would, because it's such a good album. I'm cyber on your story, but I'm already well and true, like, locked in with these picks.
I want to quickly ask you a point, your input on that then, because so I've always said to Liam, as a producer, I was doing production, but I only really got serious. What year is it? 2018 Igor came out. I was third year of university, basically.
Right. Oh, no, somewhere around there. Late 20...
I think it's 18. And Igor came out, and it was one of the first times that an album came out at midnight, and I probably didn't sleep till 6 a.m. This whole thing. And again, and I'm aware it's a more commercially, acceptable poppy album compared to Flower Boy. But the production on it, everything, like, it's like it flicked a switch in me. So I'll always be loyal to that album. Thinking it's just a game changer. But I'm aware he'd already probably had his, like, Mona Lisa moment of Flower Boy.
100%.
So that's why we argue about it a lot.
People were ready for another one, I think. Yeah.
100%.
And he still delivered.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I've still loved his album since, to be fair. Call Me For Your Loss is still a great album.
I can't think now because it's been so long, but an Igor has got Charlie Wilson, but like, who else on that? Because on Flower Boy, there's Frank Ocean.
Yeah.
There's Jaden Smith. Mm. There's, and the opening track, there's
Lil Wayne's on it.
Yeah. There's, oh my gosh, you're thinking.
Estelle's on that album, isn't she?
What's it called?
You're getting up.
The white guy with the gap in his teeth that said looks like American Kieran. What's his name? Pluto Projection. What's his name?
Oh, fucking Rex Orange
County. Rex Orange County. I couldn't think what his name was. He's in it. He's got so many good features in it.
Mm.
And loads of hidden ones that aren't even credited.
Igor was one of the first albums I remember noticing where the track list was hidden. The features were hidden.
Yeah, he did that on this one as well.
I enjoy that. I like it.
Yeah. You go, oh, is it this person? I have to Google it and go.
Yeah. Mm. And obviously, I mean, to be fair, the visuals of Flower Boy were amazing anyway, but like Earthquake, every song had a video. It was just.
You know, he's got a golf store in London.
I heard this has just opened up, hasn't it?
I popped in a couple of days ago.
Is it cool?
It's very much got the Third Man Records
right, okay.
approach to it. It's around the corner from nice. That as well. Yeah, but yeah, it's cool, yeah. I mean, I couldn't afford a T-shirt.
I was going to say, I've bought plenty of knockoff golf of Flirt
stuff. Yeah.
Never anything real because I ain't got that kind of money.
But it's cool. They've made it simple, but it's a little experience. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Well, that's what it's about, isn't it?
Yeah, like exactly. That.
But anyway, sorry for hijacking, please.
Two more. So that's three. Do you know what? It's funny because I feel like I used to have my, you know, bang the five out easily from a certain era.
I'd struggle.
It was Block Party and Interpol and that sort of thing. But now, you know,
recency bias takes over a lot as well for me.
Does.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think, like, truthfully, I don't think I listen to albums as often as maybe I did 5 or so years ago. So I do have to think about it a bit more. But what else? I listen to Immunity by John Hopkins a lot.
Nice. That's a curveball there.
Yeah. That's my bath.
Nice.
That's my bath album.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I like that. Some bubbles and some John.
Yeah. Light myself a candle.
Yeah. For sure. And then just rave in the bath. It's great.
That's my part of Johnny Hopkins.
That would probably be on there because, it's a little journey.
Yeah. And you want some range in your discs.
Yeah.
Last one to close it out.
Yeah, it's funny because there's no conventional kind of songwriter records in there, which is interesting.
But you have got a bit of a wide variety of influences from just what I know of you already.
For sure. So, like, I feel like there's got to be something that reaches back to the 80s in there a little bit. Maybe Talk, an album called Laughing Stock. So really interested. You know, Talk.
I don't know.
What's the biggest
It's My Life.
Oh, right, okay.
It's My Life. Talk. Mm. But they are much more than that record.
Interesting, right.
And in the early 90s, they made this album called Laughing Stock that's they basically jammed and
I love that kind of thing.
Kind of arranged song structures out of what they jammed. And yeah, it's quite a journey.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Do you ever listen to Easy Life?
No. I know of this band, but I haven't really listened.
I love Easy Life, but just from when you were saying that, I heard a story through, again, don't laugh at me, but just for a producer that I know that works on that album. Do you like Mac Miller? That's another one.
I don't know him inside out, but I do like everything I heard.
I love Mac Miller, and Easy Life are heavily influenced by him. So on their second like mixtape or whatever, they went and worked with Mac Miller's team. And basically so if you don't know Easy Life, they're a band, but they've got a bit of an extended lineup as well with loads of horns and stuff and whatever.
Okay.
And it is kind of hip hop influenced as well. But anyway, and they've got in this studio, they had the live room set up and the producer put a bottle of absinthe in the middle of the floor and said, everyone pick up their instruments and you're not allowed to start until this bottle's done and I'm going to press record. And I went to jam for 4 hours. And they did. They jammed for 4 hours and then they sampled themselves.
That's cool.
Right.
And it's so sick. There's a song called Dead Celebrities. It's like, it's such a sick drum groove. And it's only when you hear that story, you're like, oh, it makes so much sense because it is a bit of a weird groove.
Yeah.
And they've literally then chopped and sampled themselves.
Right.
And it's so cool.
Drunk. Wonky.
Exactly. And they were just like coming up with all sorts of weird shit they wouldn't normally do.
I can't do anything if I'm...
I swore to like never really be pissed on stage again.
Yeah.
There's always one story in there.
Yeah.
Second university, it was an EP launch. And I was playing, obviously I was playing keys and we were actually drinking with the head of the course, who was my friend's dad. And, we were gone. We were twatted. But that point where you feel like you're on top of the world.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Went on stage and me and Joe were the only ones really that drunk and he was on drums and I played and I was looking in mid-set and I was thinking, I'm shit hot.
Yeah.
Everything I'm doing is
fucking. You've seen what's going on.
I was like,
here.
I can't see my hands. They're going that fast. I'm like, I am golden right now. Came off stage. Everyone was like, well done. I was like, I know. I'm fucking really good. That was mint. Listen to the recordings. It was the fucking most dreadful.
Oh, so everyone just lied to you? Or to them, they said,
no, they were saying it was a great show. But
they were drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
They were also drunk. They were like,
everyone was
Simon's
a bit like that, but the keys isolated were painful.
Really?
I was like playing, like, even under clav stuff, for example, and I was just like, fucking.
Really?
Like, just thinking I'm being dead percussive, and I was just like, spacking it out.
I can do no wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm not doing that again. I don't know how to do it. Never mind, like, being on stuff. Never mind drug.
Do it. Oh, some people can only write when they're stoned and stuff. But I'm just like, I can't remember how to just do the most fundamental thing on an instrument.
Like
it's crazy how different that is.
Exactly. I couldn't do it.
the sampling thing you spoke about with Easy Life. That EP, there's a little minute and a half song on it called Surfacing, the EP. And that was me and the band in a little studio for 4 or so hours.
Sick.
And they were just kind of jamming. I didn't play an instrument. Right. I was kind of, I don't know, directing very vaguely, I guess, with really unhelpful instructions. And what came of that was just a tiny little sample that reminded me of that Low End Theory or something.
That's cool. That's where that
little song came from, was that.
Nice. See, that's what I mean. I love it. Mm. I remember someone saying to me once, like, if you like sampling, but obviously the sample world can be challenging trying to play stuff.
Yeah, but
make your own samples.
It makes sense. It makes total sense.
Exactly. And it,
I think they were cool gutted concept. That 4 hours of jamming and I took like a 10 second
I can imagine.
Loop. That's exactly what I imagine. That's so true.
Just because you've already mentioned Low End Theory at that point there. Oh, yeah. And I'm assuming that you're a Tribe Called Quest fan.
Yeah.
From that, because I'm a diehard Tribe Called Quest fan.
Right.
And anyway, we're going to ask you, and especially any of our guests that come on that are hip hop heads, historians, or fans of the genre as all, to give us their Mount Rushmore of hip hop.
So that's
four people only that you would that
could
are
be
your.
I don't actually know if that's how many is on Mount Rushmore.
It's four.
It's definitely four.
It's definitely four.
Fair enough.
It is four. Yeah.
So it's your four that are your like
rappers, producers,
you whatever group, you'd put in that group.
Hip hop. You do hip hop.
Okay.
Hip hop adjacent. You can put Virgil in there.
I'm not going to overthink it. So yeah, just let it roll off the tongue.
Yeah,
I think Outkast have to be in there.
Mm.
Yeah. Do they take up two?
Yeah. You can put four.
It's one face. Yeah. It's half Big Boy.
Half Big Boy. Half Andre 3K.
Okay. Kanye West has to be.
Yeah, he does. I agree. He does.
Letting it roll off the tongue. Not overthinking it. Yeah. Rolling off the tongue.
It's hard not to overthink it.
It really, really is.
I was terrible with mine.
It's so difficult. It's so difficult. I really feel like I'm pledging allegiance because, like, for example, I think The Game is just one of the best MCs ever.
I think that's fair, yeah.
I really, really think he's a proper MC and a kind of an overlooked MC massively.
He's a bit like Doom in the sense that people, our favourite rappers, like look at The Game as a god.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like favourite rapper kind of thing.
He's a good feature artist. He shows on a lot of people's stuff really.
Kanye West
really
like thinks The Game's like one of the OG, the best around.
Yeah, he's so good at, I speak to my cousin about this quite a lot, like, and he's just the best, one of the best storytellers in hip-hop, in my opinion, that can tell a linear story.
He's got a lot of stories to tell because he's from Compton. He's very pro Bloods as well.
Yeah.
So he tells a lot of those stories about growing up there and what he's seen and what he's been around. So I like that. So the game's a really conventional
one. For the concept of Mount Rushmore, that could be really perfect because if we're overthinking it, Mount Rushmore, obviously they were like founding father kind of vibe.
Right. It should just the be game. The first ones.
Yes.
It's a good shout.
Set up a foundation.
I've not heard that his name in time. It's a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and to close them out.
And the last one. Oh, God, four is hard.
It is hard.
Yeah, but this is, I guess, a very personal taste.
All 13 Wu-Tang members.
Yeah, exactly.
And everyone else adjacent. My last slot.
My favourite MC is a guy named Homeboy Sandman.
Okay.
Who is like a, I guess, a bit of a underground US MC. So I've done a bunch of stuff on Stone's Throw and Mellow Music Group and stuff.
What era is this? Is this recent or is this?
This is, current. But I mean, he's been going for a while. I don't know when his first record came out. Yeah. It might have been like early 2000s or maybe even late 90s. But he's just so artistic and unusual and creative.
I like those. Is it East Coast or West Coast?
I don't know. I don't even know if it is. Coast that he's from. Yeah. Let me think. Mm. No, I think he's a New Yorker. But yeah, he's just a really inventive rapper.
Nice.
And he's quite playful. You know, he's kind of... Oh, I just realised I didn't even put Kendrick in there. That's outrageous.
This is the tough thing though, isn't it? That you
it's your moment.
It is.
So he's like, he's not, you know, a go-to, like a trendsetter kind
of
thing.
But
he's kind of like John Wayne. I don't know if you know John Wayne.
Yeah,
another Stone's Throw guy. They're kind of the outliers. I reckon I quite like the outliers.
Nice. That,
check out Homeboy Sandman for
sure. I will actually,
Like an unconventional list.
Very cool, I like that.
So people coming out will just go Biggie, Tupac, Nas.
Yeah.
Like, they'll just do the most conventional, which isn't a wrong answer.
No,
by
there
any
isn't
stretch,
a wrong answer, really, is
there? Which isn't a wrong answer. No. But I mean, there are some
apart
wrong
from
answers.
Lil Wayne, I think he's
Tekashi 6ix9ine. Sure. Yeah, little bit, just a bunch of rappers.
I've never got the Biggie Tupac reverence, if I'm completely
honest. But this is the thing that Sam is, how old are you now? 25?
25.
Tupac is going to die just a little bit older than Sam is. And then Big is already dead at 23 or so, 24. So, 24, and they've only
really?
Got
23,
yeah.
24. Wow.
He died so young and he only had two albums out and then like an after death one. So,
yeah,
I'm the same absolutely. Where they're not in my top five, really, either of them. Mm. They should be respected, but neither
again,
of them are the greatest of all time.
Again, yeah.
Yeah. And it's the case if they didn't die, would they just be like Nas and just like revered as one of the greats? But not a lot of people, bar me, say that they're like the all time great. Do you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
Ironically, on that point, I half totally agree. I think I've never seen the massive hype of Tupac.
No, no.
I love some of Tupac's stuff. And like anyone Kendrick said's good, I believe.
Yeah.
But like Biggie, I can see it. Biggie's like,
I'm the other way around, you
Biggie's
know.
Insane.
I'm the other way around.
Tupac's lyricism is insane. I don't like his voice.
I'm the other way around again. The way I've said it, a lot of people go, that's the way to put it, is Big was a better rapper, but Tupac made better music. Like, I listened to Tupac's music more in the summer and stuff because I think there's a lot more that music went in. Yeah. And I think that's just the West Coast sunshine feel of his music.
Very
and then,
rhythmic,
and then Biggie's
it?
Like, cadence. It feels very grounded and like dirty. Yeah. And you can feel that he's very New York, East Coast, 90s
kind of.
Have
you seen the Notorious documentary?
No.
Yes.
It's really, really good for one, but it did also open my eyes a little bit to. So I'm going to like get this wrong, but I think Biggie's neighbor growing up was a really underground famous like saxophone player, a big bebop guy. And he was teaching Biggie like music and stuff, but obviously Biggie didn't really play any instruments. But he was teaching him where just like rhythmic stuff of how to copy drummers and stuff like that. And that's and then once I'd heard that, it made so much sense because Biggie's like rhythmic, like just,
his ability
just the way he raps
crazy.
His cadences were like really unheard of at the time. Mm. And that's, that. I don't know, it's one of the big things why I've always preferred him because I always like, for a rapper for me, I need to be able to mute the song and still be able to bop my head to him.
Mm. That's a good.
And that's Biggie for me. That's Biggie for me. Whereas I don't know, Tupac's a bit grating for me. That's an awful word. I'm going to get shouted at.
You should be. I want to punch you in the face right now.
I just mean it's like harsh. It's aggressive.
Do you mean, what, his voice?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think it is at all.
I like
think
a timbre of his voice.
I think it's because it's so like raspy and smooth. I actually think it's very smooth.
I do.
That he can accentuate maybe somewhat aggressively and it still, in my opinion, still comes out.
I agree. I think it's got one of those, you know, there's a lot of rappers where as soon as you hear their voice, you immediately know who it is.
Oh, definitely.
No one sounds like Kanye, like vocally.
Yeah.
I think Tupac's one of those is very similar. Like, I always thought that.
Although Gibbs sounds a bit like Tupac, in my opinion.
That's true. But I always thought the same about Kendrick, where I thought no one sounds like him. And then JID sounds a lot like him a lot when he comes on a song. And I think, gosh, they've got such a similar, and a lot of it's got to do with like stature and size. And like JID and both and Kendrick are both short and like slim guys. So that's going to sound really
and
quite similar.
And I am
similar,
also saying this, but I looked the other day, my most listened to song of the last month is Do For Love by Tupac. Again, it's a bit like the Prince thing. I don't like him. I really like Tupac. But when people talk about him as like untouchable, I just think, well, he is touchable.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of Kanye's like early flows come from Biggie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
100%. Yeah. And Puff.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. It will be. That would have been the
and actually,
the
to be fair, I want to, while we're talking about that, we wanted to get, you hinted at it before we started.
We did. I was like, say no more.
Your stance on the Kendrick and Drake.
Yeah, we've covered this last episode, the one last week. Yeah, we covered this last episode and then obviously a lot of comments on TikTok of people discussing and sharing it. And it seems a general consensus is that Kendrick's wiped the floor. And but I'm not going to say anymore because I just want to hear actually your unfiltered opinions on it.
So so I can see why you'd say Kendrick's wiped the floor.
Yeah.
Right.
But in my opinion, it's on brand for Drake.
Right.
And it's off brand for Kendrick. So like Drake is good at being catty.
Right.
And being like, just talking like someone giving someone shit in a club.
Yeah.
Sure, that's
yeah.
what he does.
Sure.
And his tracks sound like Drake tracks.
Yeah.
This is true.
the Kendrick tracks sound like Kendrick's just taking a step away from transcending the hip hop message that he'd never wanted to convey, which is the whole concept he's built a career on, which is Good Kid, Mad City. Not condoning anything. It's like, this is what you don't want to do 90% of the time, is the message.
Unglorifying it. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. That's the whole like principle that he's operated on as an MC. And that's what captivates his audience, I think.
Yeah.
And then he's like, let me just take a break from that to get my hands dirty and get it. Like, that's why I'm kind of like, well, Drake hasn't really steered away from what
he does. True to himself.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're obviously just talking about music.
Of course.
So yes, that's why I was like, I was kind of disappointed. Actually, disappointed in Kendrick.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Exactly. Honestly, that was how I felt when I heard it. It was like, oh man.
On your point on this, and I said last week, and it seems like a lot of people online agree with this, that I said that Drake confused it with Who Can Make the Better Song contest, which I think for me, far did. Like, Family Matters, I think, is the strongest one out of eight diss tracks. Yes, it is. Shut up. Yes, it is. Like, I think the beat switches in it. I think it's catchy as hell. I've listened to it a million times since.
I agree.
And it's the only one out of all of them I keep listening to. Do you know what I mean? I keep going back to them because they're like actual songs that if it was on an album and the lyrics are interchanged for whatever and he's talking about whatever, I would listen, go, this is a really good song with really good beats and whatever. But because Kendrick decided to go a different route, it's a more impactful route where, and I said previously, when Drake did like Back to Back against Meek Mill, it was, this is the best song ever. Of course he's won. And I guess he thought this time, the best way for me to beat him is to do the best commercial song. And people go, that's a better song. He has won it. Which obviously wasn't the case.
Yes. You know what
I mean? Yeah, Euphoria is the best song.
It is.
To be fair, another thing, like I thought, to go against what you were saying, I actually think I respected Kendrick more for walking in Drake's shoes and doing what he does better than him.
Interesting.
I think like Drake dominates the club scene, the mainstream scene.
Yeah, big time.
The being funny. Mm. And Kendrick just went, okay, I'm going to do both. He nailed him with his thing and then went into Drake's shoes and nailed him with that as well.
Yeah.
Like, Drake dominates all the streaming charts, all the mainstream stuff. Kendrick's shit all over the floor with him with that. I've seen so much stuff already in like loads of hip hop podcasts and talking about already, like every club in the whole of America is just singing Not Like Us. Like, yeah, just, it's like everyone's just forgot who he is for a moment.
Yeah.
And I just think I think that shows the strings to his bow that Kendrick can step out of what he's excellent at and be what's another goat in people's eyes at what he's good at. That's what anyway. Yeah. And to be fair, the other thing with the whole, Kendrick's whole point is that Drake isn't in the culture enough, he doesn't get it. And I think he beat him with that exact message because Kendrick beating him, Kendrick doing the psychological warfare and being more about a hip hop, traditional hip hop beef.
Yeah.
Is because he's like, that's what happens. That's the roots of this. And Drake's just like kind of laughing about it and not taking it seriously. And Kendrick's like, if you're going to step on that, then this is how it's done.
I think that's probably why I'm saying I like,
fair,
the Drake track is because I'm not in the that world. Well, I'm not in that culture. Like, that's not my daily life. I just consume the music. And so, it makes sense to me that I'm like, well, no, I like the best songs. The ones that sound like songs that could belong on an album. Whereas the Kendrick tracks to me aren't like, you know, crafted songs. Yeah. They're just diss tracks.
They're just like psychological breakdown.
Yeah,
I mean, ironically, I think that's why My two standouts for the whole thing were, I think Euphoria is the best song. I think Not Like Us, he did literally just to be a pop banger, to be Drake at what he's good at. But some people think that's the best tune. I don't at all. Euphoria, I think, is genius. But Meet the Grahams, I actually have been listening to the most just because it sounds like
just old week,
school.
Week.
It was, old school, just like dark. Like, just the loop alone gives you like spine tingling stuff.
Yeah.
But again, it isn't the best song. Do you know what I mean? So I do get what you're saying. And Drake does construct songs for the masses, doesn't he? Like,
he does.
And again, that was what Kendrick's point was. Like,
it was.
You make music to pacify him, I make music to, what was it? I think it was the other way around.
Oh, I can't remember what it was. Like, Crucify?
I don't know.
I don't remember. I know what you're talking about, though. I can't remember what the word was.
Lost my validity. And all sort of
I know what you're talking about, though.
There was eight songs in a week, okay?
There's a lot of songs.
It was a big week.
It was a very big week.
We actually did, so the emergency episode we did about the beef was after Euphoria. We planned after Euphoria dropped. We were like, oh my God, it's kicked off. Fucking, we booked that 2 days later, it was 5 wow. songs out. You know, so we were a bit like, we were going to break down one song and now we've got loads.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so that was mad.
A lot of busy podcast studios that week.
Yeah,
there certainly
very
was.
Very much so, very much so.
There certainly was.
You had some Australian thing questions, didn't you?
I thought it made sense, being that we're from this. I've never been to Australia. I know he hasn't either.
Right.
Firstly, I'm not interested in going because I'm not interested in going to the toilet and there's a dragon in my bathroom. I'm not scared of much, really, but big spiders. I don't mind snakes too much, but when it's a snake the size of like a Range Rover, low it. I'm not interested. Do you know what I mean?
Limousine,
so I was interested in knowing from someone who's never been and someone who's obviously been there, lived there before.
And knows both so well.
And knows both sides. What are something that Brits perceive incorrectly about Australians or Australia and then vice versa? What is something that Australians think about Britain or Brits that is wrong?
It's a good question.
Thank
Again,
you.
A loaded question we probably should have told you before.
No, it's
better for you not to be pressed for
reaction.
I think that unfortunately, Brits were exposed to I'm a Celebrity.
is that so I'm wrong here? It's not that quick, because I know it's an enormous place.
And it completely just like killed Aussie tourism.
That's good to know. So,
well,
that was proof in the pudding right there, me saying I'm not crazy about going.
There are snakes, there are spiders. But like, it's not like you're spending every day fending them off.
This is what I thought it was.
It's just like...
like I need a broomstick and I'm just going to the office and I'm like...
So for a British audience, how often have you had to like...
Okay, so in...
how have you come across?
So I live in Queensland, which is very like...
is that like the city?
No, that's the state.
Oh, gotcha.
It's a big state on the East Coast.
Cool.
And it can be very, you know, what's the word? Humid and like, you know, the summers you get cyclones and stuff like that. So the weather, affects, you know, if you're going to see spiders, what type of spiders you're going to see, where you're going to see them, that kind of thing. There's lots of sugar cane in that state as well. So a lot of brown snakes and stuff live in sugar cane, and brown snakes are very, very venomous snake and also a very common snake. But
I'm saying, you're not selling it to me. You're not. Yeah.
I would equate it to the British crime rate. So, like,
we're as likely to get stabbed as you are bitten by a spider, maybe.
But it depends where you live.
I would like to know actually the number around that. But if an Aussie was to say like, I don't want to go to England because I'm going to get stabbed.
Fair enough. That makes sense.
Right. It's not that right, but you're right.
Yeah, you'd say, do you know what?
Do you live in Swansea or Croydon?
Yeah.
Say, well, don't walk there by yourself at night.
Exactly, yeah.
Don't let it put you off visiting Britain.
Gotcha. Don't go to the toilet in case it's a dragon.
Yeah. Exactly.
In case it's a dragon.
Yeah.
Right. I still like have to look at the toilet before I sit on it. I live in Manchester just from watching too much Australian stuff.
Well, this is good to know then. Okay, that's a good...
we've been dramatic. I like that.
Been dramatic.
That's
very British. That's very British.
You know, not you're going to go to a supermarket and pick up a pack of sugar and it's like 1,000 like...
tarantulas in it.
Yeah.
No. So you're it's like... bananas. Yeah, and also you just get like, not everything's out to get you. So if you do see a snake, there's a very, very good chance it's just almost definitely, in fact, it's going to run away. Run away. It's not running anywhere. But it's just going to be scared of you and disappear.
We're more scared of them. No, it's more scared of us.
That's exactly. Okay, that's good to know then. And then vice versa, what's something that I guess they've said to you and said, oh, is this how it is over there? Is it the crime
good
thing?
Good question,
Or do they think we're just like tea crumpets and tea and stuff?
Yeah, so I think the
posh.
The frustrating misconception or exaggeration the other way around is like some kind of reverence for the monarchy.
Yeah,
that's the thing. They think we're just like kissing pictures of the Queen all
not
the time.
In this house.
But funnily enough, Australia is far more infatuated with the royal family than we
really?
Are.
I have heard that.
They're like the ultimate celebs in Australia.
Oh, interesting.
So they talk about it a lot. My name's Harry, obviously, so everyone thinks that's funny.
Well, obviously, like the Commonwealth is still such a big deal to a lot of royalists anyway, but like Australia and such key parts of what that is.
Yeah, but overall, the sentiment in Australia is that they would rather be a republic. They're ready to part ways.
Death to the West, as far as
I'd assume to them that being that obviously to them we are a tiny, tiny little country.
True.
Seems you can get from the top to the bottom in no time. And I assume in Australia you can travel for a day and be in the same state.
Yeah,
kind of
deal because it's so enormous. I would assume that they would be really confused by the range of accents in such a short radius. Because Americans are always so confused by saying, you're not even as big as Texas. Yeah. How do the North and South of one small city have such varied accents? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And Australia does, in my opinion, basically it's one accent through the whole country. Yeah. There's maybe tiny, tiny variations. Yeah.
I would have thought it was quite consistent.
Though, yeah, because we're so, like, you can drive
North and South Manchester.
Different place.
Yeah, different planets.
Different place, completely.
Yeah, it is wild.
I thought about it like that, actually.
Yeah. But now that, I don't know, I'm trying to think of what else a Aussie would like misunderstand about Britain.
Yeah.
I feel like there must be quite a few things, but mostly it's that it's the telly. It's like whatever the telly is depicting for them at the time.
They watch The Crown and like
or Top Boy, one of the two.
The Crown, Top Boy, and then there's nothing in between.
There's nothing in between.
Posh, makes sense. Or you're a roadman.
That makes sense.
Exactly. Oh, so you're all roadmen.
So you're like really confused by being like, which one do you fit? And you're like, neither.
Yeah,
there's a big middle ground between that and that.
Exactly.
That makes lots of sense, to be fair.
It does.
But I know like a lot of Aussies that live in London and stuff. I met up with a group, like it was literally a group of songwriters, Aussie songwriters that work in London. Just 2 days ago.
Right.
And they're my people because they understand.
They get it.
You know? They get it. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, there's a lot in common. And there's a lot that's very, very different as well, culturally.
Yeah, true. And to be fair, it's such like, I mean, when you actually break it down, it's funny, isn't it? Because it's similarly, but obviously completely differently with America. Like, you're cousins to us, aren't you? Like, we're all, you know, we're all cut from the same cloth.
Very kumbaya of you today.
We're all one.
Exactly, yeah. Right. We're all one. But I mean, like, it's just Brits and Europeans or whatever. So we've all come from the same
Different shades of white.
But you know what? Like, I'll still get asked where I'm from constantly, where I live. My wife's from Brazil. No one asks her. But if you... but there's like an interest or something in a British accent. No, well,
I mean, to be fair, because that's the other thing. You don't have an Australian accent, really, do you?
I don't think so. Little twangs here and there. But but I still get that. I got that all through childhood. Like, where are you from? Still.
Interesting.
Yeah, you just got to lean into it. And when I'm here, I lean into being Australian.
Nice.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Use it to your benefit.
Yeah, absolutely.
I completely agree. Yeah, fantastic. Well, I'm really enjoying that. What we want to really give you a chance to say is what people are going to expect from you next.
Yeah.
So obviously you're on tour and you've just got a new EP out.
Yeah. So this EP was not actually intended to be an EP. It was sort of a staggered release of an album.
Right.
And it was, I realized that once you have released 4 songs, Spotify tells everyone it's an EP. But everyone's been telling me they're enjoying the EP. So I'm like, okay, I guess I put an EP out.
Right, of course. Okay,
which is quite funny.
That's a recent thing, isn't it, that Spotify started doing that?
Yeah. So I don't know. I think a couple of years ago, I might have been precious about that and been like, no, can't be seen the way I don't want it to be seen. But no, it's good. Everyone seems to be enjoying those songs as a little body of work.
What's it called if we were to look out for it?
Baku Hotel is the name of the most recent single. Therefore, that's
it.
All come
under that.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. But there's an album coming out in September that I recorded with a bunch of guys from Manchester.
Awesome.
That's coming out 13th of September.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'm very, very happy with this album. Yeah.
And have you got another show in Manchester this week?
Yeah. I don't know when this is coming out, but 26th of May is when the show is,
awesome,
at Gulliver's.
And the other dates you've got for the UK, when are they going up to?
No, they're done. So
I only
booked 3 shows this time. So I'm here for 2 weeks, just kind of like reconnecting.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you've been in the Manchester music scene for the last few years.
Yeah, I was here for 4 years. Yeah. Loved it, gigged a lot. I think sometimes you got to just not keep booking the gigs, you know what I mean? Mm. So that's how I felt this year. Just had a kid as well, so
congratulations.
Thank you, man. Cheers. So sort of forced to change up the pace, and I thought, well, what can I do without? And I realized it's actually the gigs. If I just calm the gigs down for a little bit, then I can still create, I can still release music and everything.
Did you find that that gave you more headspace musically as well?
Yeah, well, it's like in one sense,
that's something I struggle with that.
Without the gigs, you mean?
No, as in like I because I'm trying to be a full-time musician. Mm. Like, I'm a full-time musician. My time gets taken up with so much music stuff that I need to do to get paid. Mm-hmm. That, like, there's just no room for the fun, creative stuff, I find.
Yeah.
Did it help?
Yes, because I mean, if you're gonna block out a big chunk of work that you usually do, then you're also blocking out the money that comes from that work.
Yeah.
But you've created a lot of space to do. So at the moment, I'm trying to do one thing, which is just create some stuff.
I like that, and be a dad, I guess, two things. Yeah, of course.
So it's been a long time since I've just narrowed it down to just write some songs and record and don't worry about the noise around it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, from the outside, it's working because we were actually saying it's definitely your best stuff yet.
Yeah.
Oh, it's cool. Fantastic.
Really, I do really like the new stuff.
Cool. Cheers.
You know, it's great. So, I mean, the proof is in the pudding, maybe.
Because you produce all your own stuff.
Yeah, I do. So, I mean, to be fair, it's another reason why my last one was Volume 1 and Volume 2 has been like in the oven fucking ever.
Yeah, it's getting a bit burnt now. It's come out.
Just been too busy. So it's like, and it's not finished, but it's like...
Find the time to make it perfect.
It needs time. Not like time to wait, sorry. I mean, it needs my attention.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I don't want to like just go in there, finish it, send it. Like, because of the context of what I'm trying to talk about as well. So again, it's like, we're famously not very good at balancing our creatives.
No, but I've been forced to now.
That's true, with
a family.
Yeah, make course structure, I guess.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah. So you got, if you all of a sudden you had all this time, then you got this amount of time.
Yeah.
You think that's going to be to your detriment, but it's actually exactly what you needed. Well, for me,
that's
anyway.
Good. Yeah, that's good.
Mm. All right, Lils, we're having a kid.
Get it going.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. For my career though.
Have a kid so you have like to keep heaps structure. Of spare time.
That'll do it. Such a misconception.
That'll do it.
Have a kid to free up your calendar.
Yeah, absolutely.
And enjoy your hobbies more.
That might work for you.
That's it really. That could work for me.
But it's true, isn't it? Like in music, you just so easily end up just surrendering half of your time to just like the noise around the music.
Yeah.
And I was doing that for years. Didn't even realize had a kid. It's like, wow, I don't have time for the noise anymore.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's good.
I'm just enjoying music far more.
I mean, that sounds great. Then I mean, get the babies happening, mate.
That's what you should do.
I mean, to be fair, like especially since COVID, though, I try and tell myself now that like I'm still very lucky to be doing the work music stuff instead of like having a boring job.
This is my fun job.
This is
my creative job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I've got a boring job in Australia. I can't pay the bills with music.
Yeah, well, that's it. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's going to be a day where I'll pack that in and go and get myself a boring job.
No, it's not.
I do a great teaching job, though.
You do a great teaching
job. Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
With somebody who knows. Yeah, I work with it. Yeah. So that's not a boring job.
That's
the closest thing I've got to a real job.
Yeah.
So also, my friend gave me my boring job. So
oh, cool.
He knows.
That's when.
He knows what I mean when I say it's a boring job. He won't get offended.
Right, okay.
That's good then.
Yes.
He knows what I mean is there's no synthesizers involved. Therefore, it falls into the category.
Exactly. And that's why teaching's my boring job.
It makes sense.
Because we've got just one crappy keyboard and a shit drum kit. But anyway, I mean, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much. Before you go, I guess, is there anything you want to either plug, mention about yourself or where people can find you next? Or your socials, whatever you'd like to.
Yeah, so
your label's still doing really well as well, isn't
it? Yeah, so we've got four acts on the label, one of them being myself.
Yeah.
And that's about all I can manage at the minute. But it's pretty kind of self-sustaining. Yeah. It's just meant to be a pooling of resources.
So who else is on the label?
So Hayden J. Barlow is like a glitch pop artist from Manchester.
Very cool.
Scatterchild has released with us. He's like a alternative rock artist from Manchester as well.
Nice.
Jay, I don't know if you've met Jay before.
I think I have.
So there's myself and then my brother Julian Moir in Australia releases like lo-fi kind of stoner pop.
What a sick breadth of like genres there though.
Yeah, so again it's
your label would be a pretty good like desert.
What's your label
disc
called?
yeah, a little bit like that. Yeah. It's called Strange Method.
Strange Method.
It is, I guess it is what it says.
Seems
on the tin. It's outliers.
That's fantastic
kind of,
though. I love that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Good group of dudes and again, it's like it was meant to just be a compiling of resources and that's kind of what it is. It's good.
Amazing.
Yeah. Cool. A lot of camaraderie in there. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
We'll have to get those Manchester artists on then.
Yeah, for sure. You 100%. Should. I do think you should definitely check out Hayden especially because I think it's going to be up your alley.
Okay, I like that.
He's a very good producer.
I like that. Very cool.
But yeah, no, just the album, really. That's the thing. If people want to check out the album.
What, no date yet? Just September?
September 13th.
September 13th.
Yeah, Venom in a Picture is the name of the album.
Venom in a Picture.
Right there.
It's a cool name.
But yeah, no, I don't have any like anything particular to big up. Join the newsletter. That's the best thing to join if you want to join something. I'm trying to steer away from socials like on a regular basis.
Yeah, traditional ways of doing it. How can they sign up to your newsletter?
If you go on harryhart.com, it'll be right there. Perfect. In front of you.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's where I try and be quite conversational in the newsletters, not just bombarding you with.
That's really cool, you know, actually.
Yeah.
Cool. Lovely.
See under the hood of like being a musician
and I guess what's next to watch is your fantastic performances that are coming out.
After this, if you're watching it in this order.
Yes, so. I'm trying to put together a little like video tour diary as well.
That's mint.
Yeah, mostly it's just me walking in the rain complaining about it.
Yeah, that'll be it. If you're doing it here, then that'll be the case.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I mean, so how long have you been here? Sorry, you've been a week and a
Yeah, a week and a bit.
Because you've probably had a bang on 50% of some really nice weather and some really terrible weather.
Oh, we started out great.
Yeah. Because when we got back 2 days ago and we heard it was gorgeous while we were away, and we've come back and it's pissing it down.
Yeah, you brought it.
I brought my bad luck with us.
Brighton was good. Brighton's always that's what nice, you want. Isn't it? Yeah.
Lovely.
So that's our Sunshine Coast.
It is. I like Brighton. It's a little anomaly in Britain, I think.
It really is. It's like its own state.
It's
a fantastic place. I've only been there a couple of times, to be fair.
No.
Yeah, no, it's good. Good place to play as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so definitely you all got to tune in to the upcoming performances from Harry.
And his upcoming album in September 13th?
September 13th.
September 13th.
Amazing. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in and watching. Our incredible guest, Harry Hart.
Thank you for showing up.
From Australia. Thank you, goodbye.